910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The judge in Donald Trump's hush money trial is scheduled a hearing for next Wednesday on prosecutors' latest claims that the former president violated a gag order, which prevents him from making public statements about witnesses and jurors. As he left court today, Mr. Trump turned his attention towards a case before the Supreme Court in which he claims he can't be prosecuted for anything he did while he was in office.
Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore.
Several justices said they were looking past Mr. Trump's example to what a decision could mean for the future of the presidency. Back-to-back fundraisers tonight and tomorrow in New York for President Biden. Manhattan's district attorney says it'll do everything that it can to retry Harvey Weinstein on rape charges. New York's highest court threw out the disgraced movie mogul's 2020 rape conviction, saying the judge allowed testimony in the trial based on allegations which weren't part of the case. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin says UW-Platteville will vacate its Richland Center branch campus on July 1st. Local officials say they were caught by surprise. Senator Kelda Roy spoke about state support for the UW system at a forum in Muscadet this week.
State support for the universities has in my lifetime gone from just under half of the revenue that they get to between 11 and 15%.
The UW has closed 5 2-year branch campuses in a year and a half. Donald Trump is coming back to Wisconsin next week. Trump is set to speak in Waukesha next Wednesday. The Republican is on trial for 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up a sex scandal. Trump has a narrow lead over President Biden in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. This week, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association voted down a measure that would have allowed high school student-athletes to receive compensation for the use of their name, image, and likeness. St. Croix Falls Athletic Director Tara Rose had this to say on the legal issues the approval of the measure could have caused.
I do not feel equipped as an athletic director to help my student-athletes, and my parents navigate this rule accurately.
The Geldwin Window Manufacturing Company has officially filed notice with the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that it will begin laying off employees on June 10th. The Rusk County facility employed about 340 people who will be laid off as the company consolidates its production into an Illinois facility. Wisconsin state data shows the county had only a total of about 1,300 manufacturing jobs, so the loss of 340 of those jobs is a major hit to the industry. The notice was filed on Monday. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers leave Pittsburgh with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. PNC Park, the Brewers trailed 5-4. Top of the eighth, Pirates lefty Adrolis Chapman on the mound against his former Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez. Jeff Levering with the call, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
To right field. Deep. Sanchez on a 102-mile-an-hour fastball off the plate away. Wow.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Pat Murphy.
They won the game for us. Changed the momentum of the game. He did it off, you know, one of the best closers, and this guy's been doing it for a long time. And Gary, he came up big, man. You know, with William catching every day, it's been tough for Gary to get at bats.
So the crew leaves PNC with a split series in four games and returns home to host the Yankees tomorrow night. NFL draft underway. We'll recap the first round later tonight. From Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of showers in the late afternoon, highs upper 50s and becoming windy. On and off showers and thunderstorms Friday night into Saturday, highs mid-60s and breezy, more rain possible Sunday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on air.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, there it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Thursday night. Man, the days fly by, Johnny, my buddy.
Don't they ever? Well, you know what's exciting about these days flying by, Tim, is one, we've had really great guests, and there's always an action-packed hour of Busted Pencils when you tune in, whether you're on the Civic Media app or you're listening on your local station. We love that you're listening. We love our callers. Last night's show, Tim, I mean, it gave me like all kinds of high blood pressure. If you were tuned in, you heard it. If you were watching, you saw it. But, you know, we had great guests on last night, Educators Amplified. But, you know, Tim, time is flying by. And all that I can think about is that means less time till we are in person in the Madison studio doing the show on Monday. And then I'll tell you what, we're going to be hoisting them up with teachers and supporters and listeners and all kinds of progressive folks in Madison at the Minocqua Brewery.
Minocqua, right? There you go. Mm-hmm.
And what's so cool about Minocqua Brewery, Tim?
Well, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, Johnny. You know what? And they sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Yeah, that's Minocqua Brewing Company, making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. I've been looking at that, you know, on the website, going to WisconsinBrewingCompany.com, checking out all that. The other thing that's really cool when you go to their website, John, did you see the amount of merchandise available? You know, if you want your woke coffee, they've got t-shirts, you know, you beer. I mean, it's like a mini Amazon. You could buy just about anything, you know, if you're progressive and you want to make Wisconsin great again. Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah, Johnny. I just got my, you know, that little email confirmation today saying your flight is scheduled on time. So, you know, Sunday here, and I'll be getting on the plane in Columbus, heading to Chicago. And then we'll make our way up to Madison. I put it out there last night. You know, maybe the topic last night, though, too, was just too emotionally charged for people to kind of grab into that little bit of a trivia. But we said, you know, something is happening with this live broadcast that Johnny and I, for the very first time, this will be the very first time Johnny and I have done something. And we put this out there to listeners to say, you know, and if you can guess what that is. Well, some of the t-shirt swag that we're bringing to the event, hey, if you call in and you can name that, what have Tim and Johnny never done together before? Well, then we could earmark one of those t-shirts just for you. And then, you know, and then Johnny Lupinacci will buy you a beer too.
Oh my God. Put me on the spot. You know what? I can do that, especially if you're an educator or a listener or just somebody curious about the show. And especially if you get this right. I mean, if you can guess what Tim or I have never done in person, right? And it's not a live show. That's low hanging fruit.
Together. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because there's lots of things that you and I have done.
Well, sure.
And there are lots of things you and I haven't done too.
And that's true. That's true. Although the list is probably
sadly, yeah. I know.
We've lived a little. So I mean, good luck if you're trying to stump us there.
It's called wisdom, Lupinacci. Wisdom. Well, man. We have wisdom for our age.
And maybe if this gets fun, Tim, we'll do a little social media. We could play that game.
Yeah.
Hey, the number more commonly known as "Never Have I Ever," gentlemen.
That's it. Never have I ever.
Thank you for
never Anya. Ever have I. Never ever have I.
Thanks for updating us, old men, Anya.
That's
youth.
My job.
Okay, Anya. So we did the show last night. Tennessee, they passed the, you know, teachers gonna carry guns in some way if the governor signs it and all that. Hot topic. Okay, you got to witness the show. What did you think?
Well, man, yeah, high energy in that there was a lot of passion, a lot of different emotions, sadness, anger, fear. I saw all of you guys kind of doing something that I do a lot, which is like kind of just tensing your face up like, like everybody kept doing that. And that's how I felt, too. The more I thought about it, and actually last night's episode stuck with me. I kind of kept thinking about it after the show, just how many different ways arming teachers could result in accidental injuries, accidental deaths, or causing something that otherwise would have been nonviolent to escalate into something violent. Witnessing it, if folks who are just listening don't watch the live stream, go back and they all are still on our X, our YouTube, those things. Go back and watch it because it was a very powerful evening of important important topic. There we go.
It really was. And, you know, just again, it's since the violence in schools, the school shooting, you know, God, an American phenomena and the idea of how do we keep kids safe, that word safety. And it was thrown around a few times during, you know, every time after there's a school shooting, you know, what should we do about it? And this idea of, well, maybe we should arm teachers, you know, because that way good teachers can stop the rampage maybe before it starts to minimize this. And so this is a safety feature. We've heard it time and time again. However, most of the time people go like, yeah, that's really not a safety issue here that you're doing. You're making some form of an admit. You're admitting that you actually can't keep people safe and you're in a desperate space and you're beholden to other interests maybe too, not safety, but the potential of signing, you know, hey, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. But so during the show, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I mean, Tim, I just can't help but, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, a little bit in this show, probably later as we close out the week, and for sure as we come back into regular guests again after our live event next Tuesday, you know, at the Minocqua Brewery Tap House in Madison. You know, we'll get more in depth of, you know, this reality for teachers in classrooms right now, navigating, you know, the violence in Israel and Palestine right now. Mm. And, you know, when we're talking about safety and we're talking about school safety, we'd be remiss to not mention that college campuses across our country right now, there is, you know, hundreds of students being arrested. There are peaceful protests. There is, you know, increasing, you know, dissent, which is part of all of our, you know, core democratic value, the right to your voice being heard. And in response to the violence, right, and for complex reasons on all kinds of sides of things, you know, it has gotten to be questionably safe. Safety is questionable on a lot of college campuses right now. And so we're seeing a lot of news footage all the time, unbearable footage you know, from Palestine, from Gaza, from, you know, the conflict in Israel and Palestine. And in response to that, there are student protests across the country being met with the most fantastic and often sadly brutal resistance to that. So, you know, there is a lot of suspensions, a lot of arrests. But in general, there is a growing dissent against the violence. And so, you know, I think we'd be remiss not to bring that up, not to mention that, because I'm sure our listeners are thinking, come on, Tim, come on, Johnny, you're social studies educators. You know, you're human rights advocates. You talk about democracy, and this is happening. This is democracy in action. Right. And sadly, like too often in this country and around the world, democracy in action is met with the most fantastic and often brutal resistance. I read that quote from James Baldwin a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
you know, talking in a letter to teachers, talking about, you know, if you so choose to, you know, find yourself on the side of justice for advocating for human rights, for advocating for equality, for advocating, you know, to end unjust violence like we're seeing footage of, right, then you will be met with the most fantastic resistance. And sadly, this is a part of too many college campuses right now. But I got to say, like, a lot of courage out there to students who are speaking, you know, out that they don't feel safe. A lot of students who feel like their right to protest is being met with that kind of, you know, police brutality. That's never okay. Right. Mm. When democracy is held at value, dissent is part of it. And peaceful protest is absolutely part of it. And so, you know, we'll get more into it in future shows. We want our listeners to know that, like, we're paying attention.
We know.
We're bearing witness to it, and we're really preparing, because it's complicated and then it's not.
Right? Well, I was getting
complicated and then it's not. And so, you know, we're going to speak truth to power. But right now we want to recognize, thank you, students who are, you know, who are taking a stand and doing that peacefully. And, you know, I wish you were not met with the kind of violence and brutality and fear that's associated with so much of what's going on. And we'll get into this more, because that's not Tim and Johnny being anti-Semitic or, you know, being strictly pro-Palestine. Although we may find ourselves there, because, you know, I rarely don't find myself on the side of the oppressed. This is a complex issue. All that is to say, nothing is complex about genocide, right? And extreme violence. And what I mean by that is, it shouldn't be happening regardless of, you know, the pasts and the histories and the complexities of this. So we'll get more into it. We have some amazing guests who are teachers themselves coming on soon, who are going to be talking about how they teach about this conflict, how they're teaching in their classrooms and what their student responses are right now. But I can't help that every few minutes I'm getting a text or an update from a college campus where our near and dear friends are, whether they're students or faculty or administration or staff, are navigating dissent on their campus.
Well, and on that too, you know, you say pro-Palestine, it's like what I'll come in with at this and say, what we're saying is that the ability to dissent should not be being met with the types of force and resistance you're talking about. Because you said, Johnny, it's complicated on this issue. It's complicated. And what is it? You know, in fact, we talked to the one teacher too. It's like, how do you address the reality of what happened on October 7th with the attack on innocent civilians in Israel? And now then looking at the conflict, what has resulted after that, and then what's happening, and say, it's like, you know, these are things where we need a lot of people thinking hard, talking about this, the ability to also say, hey, I don't agree with that. In fact, I'm going to use my ability as a citizen to make it known that I totally disagree with this. And you know what? On college campuses, these are these places we're trying to do this.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets, because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then Governor Tommy Thompson, who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I thought you might have.
There it is. Busted Pencils Thursday night, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, April 30th, we will be at the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. Lots going on. Mark from the SAC, though. Mark, you're calling. You held on through the commercial break. Mark, what's happening, our friend?
Yeah, it's just so tragic here, you know, considering the fact that, you know, if you dig down deep enough, this is a family squabble over you know, between ethnic cousins that is going on there in between Israel and the Palestinians, and that the Hamas, you know, exploited this because Hamas had to know how Israel was going to respond to this, you know, that, and you know, they went ahead and did it anyway, and apparently, you know, and the tragedy is that perhaps some of this could have been prevented if Benjamin Netanyahu had actually trusted the people that were telling him something's going on here. I mean, apparently the Hamas had done dry runs and, you know, practice runs at what they're going to do. And Netanyahu, for one reason or another, did not respond to it in the way that he should have, you know, prepared for it, actually, you know, put assets in place to respond to if something happened. And now we're in the situation where it's a asymmetrical response to what had happened. And that not to negate the fact that, you know, over 1,000 Israelis, you know, died in the initial attack by Hamas, but how many people have died on the other side? And where's the off ramp here? How do we actually, you know, bind the wounds when this is all over? Because that's something that's going to have to happen unless it turns out that we get a new president and this president decides to turn it into a parking lot before they turn it into beachfront condos on the Mediterranean, like, you know, Jared Kellner was suggesting.
Yeah. Mark, yeah, thank you for calling, and we always appreciate that. And again, making the complexity there, you know, in fact, pointing, yeah, this is a, what'd you say, John? I mean, it's a horrible tragedy, this happening, and we're watching it.
Well,
and
it's more than it, because I don't want to reduce it to like, Joe, we got Joanne on the line as well. We'll get to her in just a second. Joanne, thanks for calling. And just a sec here, you know, like Tim, this is like Mark brought up, this is, you know, this is entirely preventable and it's, it can be resolved in a different way. And you know what, one of the reasons why kind of on the cuff we're talking about it tonight is because we've got shows planned, but when you plan and you're doing the kind of thoughtful work to make sure, you know, the complexities are explained and navigated. Meanwhile, you know, in every right to do so, students have made it clear across this country. I mean, we're up to hundreds now arrested in the last week, probably more than we even have documented. But, you know, students are saying to their universities, if our government's not going to do something to resolve this, we want at least the places where we study, the schools where we're at, to one, be safe, and two, to divest, you know, in funding these unjust atrocities, you know. And war is tragic, but it's not by accident. And that's not saying it's okay. I'm not endorsing any particular response or reaction other than, you know, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice anywhere. And so we really have to be, you know, this is important, because while it's abroad, it's also right here. And there are students, there are Jewish students who don't feel safe. There are, you know, Palestinian students who don't feel safe. There are, Islamophobia is very real. There are Muslim students who don't feel safe. We know that Black and brown bodies aren't safe and don't feel safe. We talked about women don't have safe spaces. LGBTQ community doesn't have safe spaces. While we're advocating for all those things, you know, we got to acknowledge that safety is important. It is a human right, and our schools can do better to provide it. And right now on college campuses, you know, I would say by and large, too many people haven't felt safe and they're exercising their democratic right and responsibility to say something about it. So we're kind of live reporting too, right? Like this is happening as we're speaking. Hundreds of college students across the country are being arrested. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a big piece of this. Let's go to Joanne and then we'll chop it up some more, Tim, because I know we kind of threw a curveball here with this, you know, topic tonight.
Yeah. Joanne, what's happening?
Great discussion. I just want to add and linking what we're doing right now and what you're discussing right now in relation to all of the previous Busted Pencil programs. We were talking about social media and AI and everybody using phones to communicate and all that. And all of a sudden, we have people realizing that live bodies in a tent speak louder than anything one can say with AI and social media. I don't care who owns it, Elon Musk or whatever. What really speaks is saying my body is something that I'm presenting here, and I'm making vulnerable and possibly risking being shipped off to jail or something like that. And it speaks very loudly. And it's a lesson I think we're all learning. We're getting back in touch with what I was involved with. I still have the memories of the smoke drifting on the UW-Madison campus, the tear gas from the 1970s. Mm-hmm. That's how old I am. I'm praying that we won't be seeing the tear gas again. But what we learned then was the power of a physical body, and what students are learning now. And we need to discuss that as lessons learned, that we need to say, yeah, you're important, and you're whatever you're saying online or face to face is important. So thanks again for the great discussion.
All right, Joanne, thank you for always calling, and thanks for being a great listener. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Yeah, you know, going a little off script, we were talking about the fact that last night's show was so intense, talking about the arming of teachers in Tennessee, and then Johnny making mention, too, of, you know, what's happening on college campuses right now all over America in the form of what should be peaceful protesting that is an absolute civic responsibility, right, to do this, and the reality of what's happening there is the resistance that some of these students are coming up against is violent, and so the safe space, you know, we're talking about this too. What got us there was we were saying, you know, how does arming teachers count towards making spaces more safe? And so here, when students show up on campus to peacefully protest, how is it being met with some form of a physical violence, and what is leading to that? I mean, what's happening, John? I'm glad you made mention too of who's protesting, because there are Jewish students also protesting in the same way. There's multiple groups who have different ways of approaching this that are trying to make their voices heard and to make their voices known, you know, and making sure that they have that space on a college campus. And what you said, that fierce resistance that they're fighting against, you know.
Absolutely, Tim. I mean, we, you know, I'm sorry, and I'm not sorry. This is what democracy looks like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's everybody has a voice and every voice is valued. And young people and students, I shouldn't just assume they're young, but students across the country are saying enough. We're drawing attention to this, like Joanne said, whether it's via social media or via, you know, conversations. But the right to peaceful protest is part of democracy, to have your voice be heard. And their voice is being heard to end the conflict between Israel and Hamas.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Hey, man, more when we come back. And two, you got a topic? Bring it here. Busted Pencils, back in a minute.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin election officials are considering how far election observers need to stand from poll workers on Election Day this year. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met yesterday to get public feedback on a proposal to make observers stand 3 to 8 feet from election workers. Commissioners will meet again in late June. High school athletic directors in Wisconsin say they need more time and more information before they can support student athletes getting the same kind of name, image, and likeness rights as in college.
Let's make sure we're fully vetted before implementing change. Let's make sure we do this and understand what the consequences are before we make a change.
Jeremy Schlitz of Madison is one of a majority who voted against NIL at Wednesday's meeting of the WIAA. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Boys and Girls Club of the Northland has unveiled its new esports gaming room at its Lincoln Park facility. According to a Northern News Now report, the lounge includes monitors, gaming consoles, and a variety of games for the kids to enjoy. Officials say gaming will give the kids an opportunity to improve their critical thinking, fine motor skills, and problem-solving abilities. The club will also be competing in esports against other clubs and some schools, giving the kids an opportunity to be part of a team. A popular Duluth bakery is set to open a new facility just across the bridge. According to a Northern News Now report, Duluth's Best Bread will open a new bakery on Tower Avenue in Superior, taking over the space formerly occupied by Twisted Pastries. To gauge community interest in the new location, the bakery held a pop-up event in March to give residents a preview of what the fully opened location can offer them. The new bakery is scheduled to open on May 28th and will be open Tuesday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Tom Brady will make $375 million as an analyst over 10 years. I'm not trying to denigrate a profession, but $37.5 million a year to say, great catch? I would have done it for half that. The legendary QB will be the subject of a comedy roast on Netflix May 5th. That's right, they're going to roast a handsome 7-time Super Bowl champion who married a supermodel and seems to be liked by everyone, despite his past friendship with Donald Trump. Good luck, writers. The feud between Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian is back in the news. Swift released a song called Thank You, Amy, which references a bully. Swifty fans suspect the song is directed at Kardashian, whose ex-husband, Kanye West, said derogatory things about Swift in 2016, which Kardashian still defends to this day. Taylor Swift is not ready to shake it off and came out swinging through song. In a related story, Kardashian will retaliate with a new sex tape. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of showers in the late afternoon, highs upper 50s and becoming windy. On and off showers and thunderstorms Friday night into Saturday, highs mid-60s and breezy, more rain possible Sunday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from E-Bomb's World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking. education. Yeah, it's what we do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on Civic Media. The number is 855-752-4842. A little bit of a turn here. You know, what's happening on college campuses around the Israel-Hamas war. You know, Johnny, we had talked about, you know, doing a show like, because, you know, when this happened, there was lots of curriculum materials out there. It's like, you know, so as teachers, and I'm trying to bring this now back into the teaching realm and saying, you know, how do you present this to students, right? And if you're a teacher, do you is, and you know, we talked to this when we read some of the results that teachers are like, you know, students are saying, well, are you pro-Palestine? Are you pro-Hamas? Or are you pro-Israel? You know, because students want to know what side you're on. And being in a teaching position, you'd hear teachers saying, you know, which is one of the reasons why I don't want to teach about the conflict, because I don't want students to engage in that kind of a conversation. You know, whose side am I on? Who am I fighting for? Or who am I rooting for? And how that can be really uncomfortable. And so here we are now, though, Johnny, you sit there and go, okay, so what's happening on college campuses is also now a teaching opportunity, too, to say, what is going on college campuses? How did we get here? How would we teach about what's happening? Because one of the things about creating civic action is to also teach about it and what happens. And so somebody who's sitting there going, I thought peaceful protesting was something I had a right to do. I'm turning on the news at night and I'm not seeing any type of peaceful protesting. I'm seeing protesters being violently removed. And Mr. Lupinacci, Mr. Slecker, Dr. Lupinacci, Dr. Slecker, I'm not so sure that all this advocacy you keep saying about my right to go out and do some form of, you know, protesting, I don't feel safe doing that. How come you guys keep telling me it's my civic responsibility to do this? I'm just thinking about that teaching moment. How do we teach what's happening on college campuses? So you're a fifth grade teacher out there right now. You're coming in on Monday morning and you've got fifth graders going like, man, what just happened on our campus down the street today? So-and-so, because we saw the news and it looked like college kids were being arrested. What were they being arrested for? I'm just putting it in that kind of, you know, into a real teaching term.
Well, that's an interesting turn, Tim, because I think we got to back up a little bit. And
okay.
For myself as a social studies teacher and working with a lot of teachers, sadly, almost in my entire teaching career, there's some global conflict. And that's not saying, oh, it's just the way it is. But, you know, there are really good resources at age level.
Thank you.
Really important to teach about. And, you know, we're going to bring some teachers in to talk specifically about how they're teaching about the violence in Palestine, in Gaza, and in Israel, all of the kind of ways they're navigating that in their classrooms. But, you know, one resource that I often use, and that's why I'm backing up to talk about this, because they're like what you asked is multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
For us every day, it's important to teach about, you know, children of the world. And mm-hmm. there's a really great children's book series, Children of the World by Louise Spilsbury. And I'll put it in the chat for our viewers and then we can do follow up. But there's a book called Global Conflict. It's a really great teaching resource because children are seeing not only, like you said, these headlines,
mm-hmm.
you know, about what are people protesting about? How is this on, whether it's CNN 10, if you're, you know, a teacher out there and you have
right.
that streamed into your classroom, or whether it's children's news sources or whether they're just on social media, children around the world are exercising their right, their human right, their children's rights. There's a convention on the rights of child or children mm-hmm. to be able to say, I have a voice and my voice matters. Saying this is not okay. The kind of conflict, like adults figure out how it gets to this level because it's not okay. We mm-hmm. can't live in a world where it's this dangerous for us anywhere. So a threat to children anywhere is, again, I'll mm-hmm. say, just like I said about justice, is a threat to children everywhere. So children could be scared. They could be, you know, curious. They could be, you know, they need, like, classrooms are where we get trustworthy information from trusted adults. So it's important not to, like, say, well, we're not teaching about that today or anything. It's mm-hmm. boiled over, right? And so there are ways that it's important that, you know, we're talking with teachers and hearing from teachers and experts about how to teach children at developmentally appropriate you know, with materials that meet them where they're at developmentally about global conflict and about war. And that's not saying it's okay, just let, you know, it'll be fine. We're far away from it. That's not the answer, right? It's understanding. So we'll talk a little bit more about how that works. The other piece, Tim, you're talking about is that it is part of how democracy works. So, if we're not talking about the specific reason why college students are protesting, and it's not only college students, right? There are kids. I was in an elementary classroom the other day, and this is a great example. You know, a kid said, "Hey, you drink Starbucks?" And I said, "Oh, you know, I drink coffee." And he says, I heard that Starbucks is, you know, supporting the genocide. And I was like, "Whoa, little man, like talk a little bit more about that. And maybe I need to do some learning because maybe I shouldn't be drinking Starbucks," for example. These are different ways where young people are connected into social media, right? There's social media, and they have to understand these. We also don't want kids to fall into an either or, you know, because this is a dangerous moment where things like anti-Semitism can take hold. They can take root. Hatred can take root when there's violent conflict not taught, not explained, right? And so we don't want a response where people are now all of a sudden, you know, by and large, teaching in anti-Semitic ways, right? This is not one thing to blame on Jewish people of the world or on Palestinian people of the world, but it is to learn about the nation states that are making decisions that put people in harm of their own communities, right? And so we really want, as responsible educators, we really want to be teaching children that these decisions are complicated but are important. And when we don't teach about them, we inadvertently say it's not important. And that's a mixed message that we don't want. Now, so that's like this quick response on like, do we or don't we teach about wars, right? But then again, we layer on top of this. Now you say like that they may be seeing news headlines of teenagers, really. I mean, college students, yeah. They're adult, but young people saying enough is enough, like Joanne said, not on TikToks, not in sort of, you know, barriers of technology, but in real face-to-face lived experiences. You know, saying like in protest. Now, what we're often not seeing is the days and weeks and maybe even longer that they've been assembling and been, you know, navigating and utilizing and putting to work channels and avenues for their voice to be heard. One of the sad truths of the state of our democracy is there aren't a lot of avenues for dissent. Mm-hmm. So this is a result of not listening to young people, not listening to voices. So that's in part, and we ought to be teaching about that. We ought to be teaching about the role of protest and civil disobedience in social change. And it doesn't need to be glorifying the violent aspects of it. That's certainly not responsible teaching, but it is to illuminate that it is met with the most fantastic resistance. And you know what? Curious minds are going to ask the important question. Why?
Exactly.
And that is the golden question. Why? And now we get into why are people not listening to young people around the world who are saying this is not okay? Why are we decades into, you know, not listening to people on all sides who have been suffering and saying this is not okay? It boils over. It culminates. Violence begets violence. And then peaceful protest is met with the most fantastic violence. And I'm sorry, you know, it is by a militarized police force. And so now here we are because maybe we didn't teach enough about it or we didn't value it enough in our structures and systems like our campuses and schools and our communities that our democracy, you know, shows a side of it. And it's only, and I'm not saying you or me or teachers out there, sometimes it's never too late to teach about, but it's a little late now because now we're dealing with, you know, the mess of it. And that's bound to happen. That's not me saying don't teach about it, but it's
all right.
It's harder now because we're in the crisis of it. And so, you know, like preventative teaching all the time about how important it is to navigate conflict in nonviolent ways. Otherwise, conflict culminates to violence. Well, what are the rules around that? Who's working to make sure it's not violent? How can we ensure that young people around the world aren't suffering the way that we're seeing on social media or we're seeing on the news? And then when we're faced with saying it's not okay, enough, We need to stop this. You know, we see students across our country saying that on their college campuses, and it's met with the most fantastic resistance. Not in all cases. There are some good cases where universities have said, you know what, let's listen, let's talk, let's make this a safer place. Let's do the work we need to do to whether it's divestment, whether it's, you know, collectively having a political voice that says, you know, unjust war anywhere is not okay. So there are cases where it's good, but we also are seeing right now, like UT Austin, University of Southern California, and there are others where it has culminated to the arrest of young people and to the clash of a militarized police presence and force and nonviolent protesters. And it escalates to violence.
It does. And man, we started talking about safety, and there we go, you know, and keeping people safe. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We had a text from Mark from the SAC, and he said, too often the response from government to protest is often violent. In fact, in Wisconsin, when Governor Walker was there, using excessive force to shut down people singing in the Capitol. And I remember that. Yeah, the Capitol singers. And the reality, you know, retired senior citizens who would show up and sing in the Capitol, and then they would be met, Johnny, with resistance and you know, a form of physical moving them out of. And you sit there and go, like, wasn't it their right to show up in the Capitol in peaceful protest? It is, you know, and you move this forward and you say, And that's why I was kind of thinking about this, though, too, when students, if we're activating this idea, like, how do you learn to protest? Does it always just happen as this organic event? Are there rules to civil disobedience? And I think that is, the kids are like, so what does it mean to protest? How do I do it? Are there right ways to do it? And I just want to point this out too, is that, you know, when we were protesting No Child Left Behind, we had to fill out permits, you know, to be allowed to protest peacefully and organize on the steps of the Department of Education. You know, so that was a learning experience to know that, because we wanted to make our voices known, but we didn't want to be met with resistance. But even when we filled out the permits, it was amazing the amount of you know, physical presence of law enforcement with a bunch of teachers talking about testing. You know,
absolutely.
That threatening stature.
And we're going to Madison. You know, we have roots and connections there. We'll be there next week. But Tim, I can remember as a teacher joining teachers and going to the Capitol in Madison, going into the Capitol building in Madison. So those are important, formidable moments where protest is part of, you know, exercising our democratic right and responsibility collectively. Labor organization has a history in this. Dissent is part of democracy. It doesn't need to be violent conflict. And too often it's met with the kind of resistance and policing that escalates to that kind of violence. Tim, to answer shortly, because we're going to be going to break, and we got LA Tom when we come back from the break. We got you, my man. So excited to hear from you. But Tim, I think you're right. It is absolutely important to be teaching about what is meant by civil disobedience, the role it plays in democracy, and exercising our right and responsibility to sharing our voice. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's really important. So teaching it is important, and it's also engaging, and it's also meaningful, because the world needs to change. Young people are here for it. They're saying we want a different world. And you know what? By golly, they're demanding it, and they have every right to.
And they
when
should.
We come back, we'll get LA Tom. We'll get more into this. Listeners, thanks for listening today.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote.
Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Hey, Wisconsin. It's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yeah, it is. It's almost out for summer. Not yet, though. Busted Pencils. Not fully quite. Leaded. Not yet. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. L.A. Tom is on the line.
My man.
Our friend. L.A. Tom, what's happening?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. And we must all start realizing that more and more so we can actually take back our country from, you know, the billionaire class and the people that are buying politicians through Citizens United. What I want to say is that what keeps going through my head is I feel like the genesis of all of this started with George War Criminal Bush and his illegal wars into Iraq. I'll say Iraq, not Afghanistan, but Iraq. And the whole comment that keeps going through my head is, let's fight them over there so we don't have to fight it here. And I feel like we've exported all the wars right back to our soil. It just seems like there was this thing where all of a sudden you had the tanks, everything available from that war came back here. All of a sudden our local police were using that equipment. All of a sudden, everything became more and more militarized. So, you know, I mean, I would just say people really think before you think about war. You know, it's not Palestinian versus Israeli. If anything, it's Hamas versus Netanyahu. And for the people that are here, you know, we need to start looking at each other as humans. And we all bleed the same red blood. And you know what? We get caught up in our labels. It's not going to help. You're going to have people that go to their tribes. And I think that's just a human natural thing or animal natural thing to go into tribes. But democracy is what's important. I hope that we realize that a lot of this stuff is happening because of authoritarian rule. And that's why we have to fight so hard in this next election that we don't end up with an authoritarian ruler. And all of a sudden, democracy is gone, and we have these problems.
L.A. Tom dropping some great truth right there.
Yeah, I love when L.A. Tom gives a call and shares that. And I think it's really important to say it should go without having to say, except we're talking about how often this slips into really problematic either ors, you know. So and L.A. Tom's not, but I just want to really emphasize that these violent conflicts aren't they need to not be mechanisms for us to slip into patterns of hatred where we're blaming one particular group and now we're using this. And there are sadly people who are going to do this. And that's a huge problem, who are going to say, this is why, you know, I can't support a Jewish community, or I'm, you know, it really ultimately leads down that. It can lead down that path where you're making a group that has experienced undeniably their own collective atrocity in our recent history and continued persecution.
Continue.
And so, yeah. And so, you know, what's really sad about this, and too often I see, you know, coming to the top, is people who take a particular stance and say, well, this is completely unjust what's happening to Palestine. Yes. The response is not, because Palestinians are being killed, now we should hate Jews. This is an incredibly problematic pitfall that can happen when we get into sides. And that's not saying you can't take a side. You err on the side of justice. And this is hurtful to all groups of people for really, you know, for reasons that we ought to be unpacking and discussing the complexities of. Because I've talked to so many people in the Jewish community who say, of course I don't support genocide. I've been working collectively in my community to heal from this and to teach about it so it won't happen again. Now it's happening again in particular ways. That isn't a means to attack. And like Tom said, this is about the Israeli nation state's decision, in my opinion, to really misrepresent a lot of people I know around the world, right? And so we are not defined by our governments. And that's true for people everywhere. People, like we the people around the world, have the collective right and they have a human right to say that government's action does not represent me, right? And I'm not safe. I'm not feeling safe. And so, you know, collectively as a world, we can do better and we should be doing better.
Man, this is right there. This is the moment where I'm thinking, though, boy, I could use a beer.
Oh, my gosh. Right turn. Hard right turn. But you're right. You know what? You know, to boil it down to something really simple, Tim, is we ought to be able to sit down with one another and have conversations face to face. And here we are kind of doing that through a mechanized medium. But, you know, when we get together and we sit down, we can talk through things. We can disagree and we can move forward together. And that's really important, Tim. And so we're going to get to do that.
I was going to say, yeah, we're good. Tell them, Johnny.
Well, I mean, we're going to do that. We're going to be at the Minocqua Brewing Company, and Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I'll tell you what, thank you, Minocqua Brewery, because like I said a few times on this show, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice anywhere. Everywhere. Right. And so I really need that beer. But you know what? Together, we have these conversations. We hoist a beer. We break bread together. We have this, you know, a dialogue that brings us forward together. That is what democracy looks like. It's part of it. Tim, man, I appreciate you. Anya, I appreciate you. Let's keep chopping it up. Listeners, join us tomorrow. We'll be back on.
Speaking of tomorrow, I'll give a little hint too. You know, all the work we've been doing, talking about what's happening in Tennessee. Yeah. State Representative Gloria Johnson, one of the Tennessee Three, will be joining Busted Pencils tomorrow night to give us a report directly what's happening going on in Tennessee. So yeah, tomorrow night, Representative Gloria Johnson from Tennessee, one of the Tennessee Three, Johnny. So, you know, been working on that.
Specifically opening back up that topic from the other night, where in Tennessee legislation was passed to allow teachers to have a concealed weapon in the classroom. And so teachers everywhere, their eyes like bugged out of their head. They're like, what are you talking about? Well, in Tennessee that happened, and we'll have a representative on to talk about it tomorrow.
What's great about her too is, you know, guess what, Johnny? She'll be a model too of what we've been putting out. She was a special education teacher before she became a state representative. So she's out there. She knows what it is. And the reality, she'll be able to give that perspective of going, well, as a teacher, you know, what do I think? But then the perspective of being a lawmaker. And then from this standpoint too, one of those lawmakers who was trying to insert some form of sense to say, putting guns in schools with teachers, not a great idea. Man, if we're talking about safety. So, yeah, tomorrow night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded with State Representative Gloria Johnson from Tennessee. A little bit more on arming teachers. Not arming teachers. Johnny, great Thursday night. Everybody, check you out tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, Donald Trump's legal troubles are so numerous, we've had to add a weekly segment with a former U.S. attorney to sum it all up.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth.
We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.